meeting of budget. So you have a chance to look over the preliminary or tentative budget. Ken?
Yes.
Okay.
I hear a question about traffic control signs. Traffic control. I know it's in the general fund,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't that cover street signs? No parking signs, everything?
It covers the signs. What else are you talking about?
Well, from what Ken told me, the Hayes Road signs for the no parking,
mm-hmm.
he was told to take it out of his road maintenance fund.
I have an answer.
But I don't understand why that would be when traffic control comes out of the general fund.
Yeah, that... did we take it out of the...
So now it's going to be moved via journal entry back to the general fund. Originally,
yeah.
asking Tony about it, he said he thought it should be in the highway fund. There are some other towns that put it in the highway fund. But after your email, we circled back with the Association of Towns, and they were saying they thought general fund. So now we're going to switch it back to the
okay.
general fund.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, what did we spend about $4,000 or something on that? So we're still under budget for our sign budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the supervisor had made a budget of, you know, his preliminary budget had 10 and Ken had requested 12.
I just think to stay as status quo as last year, I thought that was something we could.
You could live with?
No, I did increase it by a couple, but yeah, it
okay.
stayed the same, I see.
Yeah. I mean, that was just the first
yep.
thing I was starting with, was
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, is that okay?
Yeah.
Stay at 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we haven't, that was one of our bigger projects we've done. I mean, I know we haven't done a lot of signs. And Radisson's probably going to take care of a lot of that because
mm-hmm.
they're going to do their own, right?
Yeah. What will the plan is to target each neighborhood or, you know, Clifton Heights, say, or Pelican Point and do each area, all the signs that they need to bring it back up to, whether it be flectivity, a breakaway. So yeah, but I think $10,000 is fair.
Okay.
Yep.
Now the salt budget. I know, you know, last year or this year, current year we had 197.8.
Right.
You had put 299 because of the initial
so,
quote we got.
Right. So the contract for salt ran out at the end of August this year. So, ending in, I think it was 44.28. So then, at the beginning of September, we got notice of an award bid to Cargill for $59.87. So that's the allotted 5,000 ton at $59.87. That's what the 299 is, but then 2 weeks later we received another bid award that brought it back to American Rock Salt for $49.20. So I was a little confused as to how must be they just decided that they could undercut Cargill for one more year. So that's why the original request was $299. But even so, the American did go up to $49.20. So for that was to be at the 5,000, which were allotted, $246 would be the number of to cover those that amount of tonnage if we needed to use it all.
But how much do we have right now? I went out to that barn and that thing looks full.
Yeah,
how many tons are in there?
I packed it before the price change.
Right. That. Okay, so, I mean...
You still have $113,000 to spend this year, so you can pack it right at the end of the year, too, and make sure you're full.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so we still got, Nancy, after the bill from August, or...
This is as of 9/30.
Okay.
Ordered, yeah.
Okay, so that was already entered. Okay, so we have money to put more salt in if we go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not drop that number?
I didn't know there was a bill.
We already did.
Yeah, we did.
To 217?
Yeah.
It's down.
No, I know, but we spent $163 the last year, and you have a full packed storehouse, or shed, salt shed. So I'm questioning why we're not budgeting $198,000, which is what we budgeted this year, if you've got a full house.
The price still went up 27%.
I know, but you've got a full house of salt, so I'm...
And enough money to fill it again.
$100,000.
And $100,000.
Right.
$100,000 to fill it a second time, right? So you essentially have two full, right? Is that right, Ken?
How much salt do you normally use in November and December? Because that's what we're talking about, is 2 months worth of salt.
I went back there for a year, year and a half. These last winters have been pretty light.
Yeah, but you can go back in history and see how much you used.
True.
So how much did you use back? How much, if you took an average of the last 5 years?
I don't know, Bob, I don't have that number. I didn't take an average of the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd look at it this way. You take it out of the budget, when you try to put it back in, you're raising taxes.
Well, I don't think you're going to. Right now, we still got, how much do we have, $116,000?
$113,000.
How much?
$113,000.
We have $113,000 left this year with a full barn full of salt. How many tons are in that barn? About. I don't know.
Roughly. I think it's, I would do better guess, 1,600 tons. I think there's in that.
1,500 or 1,600?
1,600, yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't even come close to using what we allocated last year, and we still have $116,000 left going into it. So if we did have an early winter, which it doesn't look like we're going to, but if we did, we'd still have $113,000 that we could restock. Then you're only talking about 10 more weeks. He hasn't even come close to using what we allocated last year, and we increased what we allocated last year this year. So we already increased it, but he hasn't even come close to that.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you take it out and next year's severe, and we go to put it back in, it's going to be an increase somewhere. That's all.
But there's no statistics, there's no numbers for us to go on to even think that we...
We've got your historical numbers right here. Look at it.
Okay.
I mean, you're asking Ken, but you see salt, it's right in your budget book.
Well, I was asking Ken because I figured he'd have a better understanding of it.
2020, 149. 2021, 129. 2022, 162. You budgeted 197.
Right. Okay. So 162 is the most we've used. At 27% on that 162, get another maybe 40,000 tops.
Right.
That we're at 200, and we budgeted 217, and we still got 113,000 left in reserve, and we got a full load of salt in the bin. I think we're easily over the amount of salt or money that we allocated for salt without just looking at the numbers.
Okay, then, if you guys want to lower it.
We're not lowering it, we increased it.
Bob said, why not bring it down to 198?
I would propose bringing it down to 198, or if you really feel uncomfortable about it, bring it down to 198 and put $20,000 into the fund balance of highways, because I just don't think it's unreasonable to budget $218,000 when the most we've ever spent was $163,000, and we've got a full barn, and you know that's what budgeting is all about. Just
right.
We take the 160 to 163 and times it by a 26% increase, and were to repeat 2022. We'd be looking at $204,000 in cost. I don't know how we started the year, though. Did we start with a full barn? Did we not?
You remember the barn was down in January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here.
It's all kinds of replenish at that point in time.
Yeah. What did you say, Ken?
It's just a cycle of constant replenish. Whenever it gets low, I bring it full back to the front of the barn.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no, you're probably right. You know, based on the numbers, it's a valid, that's valid. So, I mean, are you fine with bringing it to 198?
This, well, other than it just being this a one-year deal, but of course we'll have to look at this again next year for an increase. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, of course. So,
but no, I think with the barn being full, the money we have left.
And what the
I think was. One. Yeah, I think the 20, the 198 with 20 set aside would be wisest. It's still just erring on the side of caution that the cost to go up.
Well, we don't put 20 on the side.
Yeah,
yeah, that goes
into the fund. No,
yeah, that's going to go. Yeah, we'd have to do, if there was a problem, we'd have to go back and do a budget modification. But yeah. I mean, any of the money, if we make any decreases, it automatically goes to the fund balance.
You do have the option of putting 20 in the contingency account, so that way the tax
rate. Can you speak up? I'm sorry.
You have the option, if you wanted to, of putting $20,000 in a contingency account. That way the tax rate is relevant as though that $20,000 is going to be an expense. And then if you need it, you move it into the account via budget modification that you would need. If you wouldn't, it would show savings at year end and go into fund balance. So it just depends on how you want it to show up. Do you want it to show up in the tax rate? Or do you want it not to show up?
I appreciate what you said, because that's really what I meant to say, to put it in the contingency, not into the fund balance.
Okay.
So the tax rate would stay the same as what's on the sheet. And I hope we remember this conversation a year from now. Because, you know, salt has always been one of those things where, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. We need all the salt in the world. And we never come close to using it all. So so my proposal would be to turn this number into 198 and put 20 into contingency, leaving so the overall budget doesn't change. And then when you come in February and say we're out of salt, okay, then we got $20,000 that we can buy more salt.
Do we have that contingency line already? Is there a line item for that?
There is
there
this
is.
Year, yes.
What's in there now?
In there now are possible raises and retro payments attached when we negotiate a new union contract.
Where is contingency on here?
So for the highway fund, it is the first line in the benefits section. It's before New York State retirement. So it's all the way down at the bottom. Contingency contractual expense is 01990.
There's only one contingency account, and that's where we go.
That's the contingency account in the highway fund.
Okay.
So there's one per fund.
You see it?
Okay.
No.
And so
right here,
if we end up
like
not using that, that goes back in the general fund balance.
No, the highway fund. Yeah.
Highway.
It's a highway fund expense.
General fund.
Right.
The highway tax.
I get it.
I'm okay with that.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. You got that done?
Those were the two questions I had off.
Yep.
Got it.
So you had said for Kevin to let me know that the 108 left on our equipment budget was going into this following year.
Yeah.
So
that's because we have to pay for the truck. You know, all we're doing is swapping that truck for the payloader. So we took that money was set aside for the truck, so we're moving it into the we put it in the fund balance, and then we used the fund balance to, that was part of the allocation out of, for the truck, correct?
So, yeah, we took it out of the budget on the equipment line, mm-hmm. which will save $100,000. And then what we did on the appropriated fund balance for 2024 is we added $100,000. And then we put the plow expense into the expense line at the $250,000.
So the 270 you have on the budget line
is the plow and any other little pieces, or if the
okay.
something increases, so like the plow package is a little bit more than we thought, or
right. But I mean, I want the board to know that 270 grand will just pay for one plow truck that should be coming in the beginning of the year. That hopefully will, you know, that'll deplete that fund.
Right. We had this discussion when you wanted the front end loader. We said, no, just if you're going to spend that 100 grand, just know what's coming out of there. We had that discussion then.
Right.
And you agreed to it then. You were good with it then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just brings up the discussion of, I made up some sheets that I put in front of all of you. The first one is just tax rates compared to other towns in the county. And where we fall, and you'll see some, you know, where we fall by tax rate, where we fall by budget, and where we fall by road miles. I mean, we have the third highest road miles of any town. Our budget is the seventh largest budget, and our tax rate is the 14th smallest.
Did you also do, when you incorporated in those budgets, did you also do an analysis of what the highway was responsible for as opposed to what our highway's responsible for?
No, I did not.
That has a big bearing on their cost, the number of people that they have. Like with ours, with theirs, they do parks. They do
But parks would be a general fund expense.
But they do that work. They do that work. They pick up trash. They pick up. They do concrete work. They do a lot of work. So I don't know where they're. I don't know how many people they have to do all of that. I don't know. Well, I know they're. I think it was. I can't remember. I think it was Cicero. Had like 32 personnel. So when you look at the budget, the salary line is going to be almost three and a half times what ours is. So you look at the salaries, if they got 32 people, because they do a lot more work, then the salaries are going to be three and a half times what ours are. So that is an increase as well.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just trying to get the board to realize where we are financially on what we spend on vehicles. You had instilled a 5-year plan 4 years ago that we haven't followed at all.
Well, this is why. The COVID came along, and
I've heard enough about COVID, Bob. We're 3 years
Okay, you're asking, but COVID came along, which increased. So didn't it increase all the cost? Didn't all the cost of everything go up 160%?
A lot of stuff went up,
A lot of stuff went up. Everything went up. What didn't go up, Ken?
No, but what I'm saying is, we lowered our highway budget, even though everything went up.
We didn't lower the highway budget. The highway budget's been going up every year. Every year I've been here, the highway budget has gone up. Not only that,
there's a sheet that shows you expenditures finally got back to the level they were in 2020 and 2023. I made that sheet too.
We have our sheets as well, but that highway budget has gone up every year, and on top of that, we've been spending a lot of grant funding. That this is just the budget, and then we put money from ARPA in there as well to do other things. So there's been a lot more money being spent than just what we've been budgeting for.
I think the only thing we did for highway for ARPA was the slip line project that we're planning for Willow Park.
We also got touring route money.
That's from the state, from studious paperwork by our highway secretary and our comptroller.
Oh, is that where it came from? I mean, it didn't come from lobbying with the county or the state and local legislators? Because I think it was in 21, we were the only town in Onondaga County that got it.
Well, did you do because the lobbying?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Now, I didn't lobby specifically for that, but I'm always lobbying for extra money to do highway projects. I didn't talk about the additional road work that they did in the village that I worked with the mayor on as well. They were going to stop the paving right at the lock. So the mayor asked me if I would collaborate to see if we could get money from the lock to the middle of the town, and that's the town of Lysander. And we both collaborated on that, and that work was done. So I don't go around saying everything that I do all the time, but that wasn't going to get done until the mayor and I got involved in that. That was additional monies. Now, they did it, but it's still monies that our town taxpayers, which the village are part of them, didn't have to pay for. I meet with the legislators all the time to talk about different things, just like the waterfront revitalization grant. We're talking about that now.
Okay.
And you had an opportunity to take that over or to even participate, and you chose not to. So I don't know what to tell you. That was something.
When did I choose not to?
Okay. You did it at a meeting. I brought it up at a meeting, and I said, I'm busy right now. I could use some help on this LWRP grant. I said, who wants to help me with it? I don't remember you coming up with it. In fact, I remember you not volunteering to do that. So I took it over. Now we're in the middle of it. It's not a problem. But luckily, I got the county to help me out with it. If I didn't get the county to help me out with it, we would have been in tough shape. But, you know, so these are the type of things that I'm doing on a regular basis.
Did the other town board members offer to help? Just so we're on even basis.
No, I didn't say that they did. Well, I didn't say that they did, but you're saying, you know, do you lobby with these legislators? Yes. I lobby with them all the time. I've met with every one of them. Every one of the legislators that affect town of Lysander, I've met with them.
Okay.
Personally, about a number of issues.
Good. Good. That's very good. I mean, what I'm asking is, do we as a board feel that what are our three oldest trucks that now we're probably 2 years out on waiting for vehicles?
We have a 93 10-wheeler. And you have an 07 six-wheeler. Those are the two oldest.
Are those the extra ones, or are those part of the 9 routes?
So,
or are those part of the 12 in the fleet?
They're part of the 12, although number 8 had to be in the plow lineup because of the 2009 broke out. The replacement order that it should go in, based on age, if age was the criteria.
Well, hold on a second. Age isn't necessarily the criteria because different vehicles are in better shape than other vehicles. You could have a 2010 that's in great shape and a 2015 right. That wasn't, because we did. I can't remember which vehicle it was, but there was one newer truck that was worse than some of our older ones.
Right, and we have that.
So we don't just use age for that's not the sole deciding factor.
Right, but what I'm trying to say to the board is, having a fleet of 9 main plow trucks, and how many are over 5 years old?
Most. You have 07, 09, 2010. Are you saying 9 years?
No, I said 5.
5 years.
I'd go for 7 at this
2015, point. So the majority.
So we have half of our plowing trucks are over 7 years old.
Correct.
How many plow trucks in the village were over 7 years old?
I believe two, I think, when I left. In fact, when I got there, they just purchased a new one, and that just happened to be the one that I winged in.
Well, I did a, when I talked about these plow trucks, I canvassed all the other town supervisors. And most of them, at the most, they would buy one new one a year, at the most. Some would go 2 years to buy them. So we're right in line. Since I've been here, we bought one a year, every year. Prior to that, we weren't, but we bought one a year every year, and we're on schedule to go along with that. But here's the other thing. I mean, we have to look at, okay, if we have vehicles that are that you can still operate and it's not costing us, the cost benefit of that vehicle is not cost prohibitive to because of repairs, then why not repair? If it's costing us, if it costs us $45,000 to buy a new truck and it's only costing us $20,000 to keep it running well, which you should have a maintenance schedule for all of those, then we're saving $25,000 a year. And if we buy a whole bunch of trucks all at the same time, say we bought three trucks this year, and using that formula, we'd have to replace those three trucks at the same time by spreading them out. Once we get caught up, we can spread those trucks out. We don't have a situation where you have to buy three all in 1 year, because they're 250, 300 are going to be more than that. So you're talking about $1 million you'd have to spend to purchase trucks, as opposed to spreading them out one each year. It makes more fiscal sense to do it that way.
It does make more fiscal sense, but they're not currently being offered. It's not you buy it. It isn't any longer that you order one at the beginning of 2004 and you get it in 2004. It's a 2 year wait for replacement. So I just wanted to mention that there's two trucks right now. This truck 11 is in the shop. That's our 09, which has cost so far to maintain over its 14 years, $119,000.
Okay, so if you do it over 14 years, $109,000 to maintain it, right? Is that what you said?
$119,000.
Yeah. So it's less than $11,000 a year. So we actually save money, because to purchase a new one, it's about $45,000 a year. So to maintain that, and I'm hoping you're maintaining them in good working condition, if you maintain that vehicle at $10,000 a year, we're saving $35,000 a year using that formula.
Well, here's the other thing with having, yes, we're saving the money because we are we're only maintaining, we're using maintenance money. But that truck might be at the shop for 3.5 months.
Well, I would look at who's doing the preventative maintenance on it. If it's at the shop for 3.5, I mean, during the summer is when you should be doing your preventative maintenance, because I know you are not using all your trucks all the time. And this is how I know. There's a lot of times when I go in there, people aren't even working. I mean, I looked at the timesheets. People aren't working on Thursdays, and you're off on Fridays, so they're only working a couple days a week, and a lot of times you're only having two and three people in there. So if we put those, they can't drive nine vehicles if you only have three people working. That would be the time to do the maintenance on them. That's what your job is, to set them aside and have them maintained when they're in their downtime during the summer when you're not doing that amount of work.
These two trucks, it's not maintenance, it's breakdown. Truck 29, another, that's 2014, $75,000 already that that has cost. Now, I don't see that as a benefit. It's $8,300 a year, roughly. This particular truck right here, I inherited, and then I parked it. When it was fixed and said, all said and done, inspected, I parked it.
Is that the International?
That's why
that's
there's
the one I'm talking. That's the bad one.
Yeah, I mean, that was a disaster buying that truck.
Right, and that is one that just sits. I mean, because I know it's so underpowered that it's a risk just to bring it out of the shop to get it inspected, because it just doesn't like to stay around.
What year is that one?
That's a 2014.
See, and that, you just made my point. You got a 2010 that's in better shape than a 2014, so that you don't just take age as a factor. 2014, like you said, is underpowered. That's one of the ones we should get rid of prior to getting, say, a 2010 that's operating well.
This 2010 is not operating well.
But here's the thing. There's vehicles at the county, at the state, that are much older than them. If we have a good vehicle maintenance plan and we take a look at it, they're breaking down, but why are they breaking down? Why aren't we taking a look at them to see what they need?
Well, you're also talking about county and state where they have their own mechanics.
We don't have, right.
Do a majority of
Okay, but...
outside of engine.
Okay, but we still take them out to a mechanic. Why aren't we taking them out to say, what does this thing need? That's what I do with my vehicle. I go in and I say, hey, what does it need? What's the preventative maintenance? And I stay on top of it. Does it need new tires? Does it need brake lines? Are the shocks bad? You know, I don't know. Are the...
This is part of the inspection. Like I said, this one here, yes, all the lights work.
But I'm saying do that before the inspection. You don't have anybody that you can take that to, any mechanic that you trust that you can take that to say, hey, we're going to need to operate this vehicle for a couple of more years. Can you take a look at it and run right through it? See what it's going to need prior to inspection time, because you inspect them at the end of the year when you're ready to go out and start plowing, correct?
True.
Okay. So, I mean, why wouldn't you do that in the summertime when you have downtime? When they have time to work on them, when they have time to go through and do the preventative maintenance so they don't break down.
Right. I agree with that. One thing I will say is normally when larger trucks break down and they go in the shop, it's an engine or it's a computer error. In this day and age, it might be in there for 2 or 3 months because of parts availability.
You just made my argument. Why aren't we
but
doing it during the summer?
Until the engine light comes on.
Well, you do. You will if you go through and do preventative maintenance. You don't wait for the engine light to come on. You go through and you do the maintenance so the engine light doesn't come on.
Right. You're right.
With any vehicle.
I've worked with a trucking company for 15 years. You're right.
What truck is the 270 replace? When you buy the new truck with the 270, which one does it replace? I mean, what I'm getting at is, this town made some mistakes in the 2014 and around that era and didn't replace trucks, but aren't we coming up to where we're seeing the light with the trucks that we're buying?
I ordered one at the beginning of this year, and without hesitation, he said you'll get it in 2025.
I mean, that's with this money or last year or this year's money? I'm a little confused about what
the truck we ordered in the summer of 22 when we argued about buying two trucks will not be in until sometime in the spring of
24. But that was using 2022 money?
No, because at the end of the budget year, that gets put back into the fund balance, and we look and go, oh, we have $800,000.
But we took in a new truck in 22. We've had a new one each year. We've had a new one each year for the last 4 years.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is we ordered a truck in June of 22 that will not be there until the spring of 24. So instead of getting that truck 6 months to maybe a year down the road, now you're a year and a half to 2 years. So now you're stretching out what trucks, you're playing the game of what truck's going to break down on me that I get rid of now that I got one truck in. And I'm not saying there's a better way to do this. I think we need to pick a year where we buy two trucks. I mean, we really started to get close to an actual equipment budget last year, and then we slashed it to one truck.
Well, because you wanted to buy a payloader, which was, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with buying the
But meanwhile, we have $340,000 sitting in an equipment reserve fund that has not had money put into it in 4 years. That Joe Ciricini had a phenomenal plan of getting the equipment reserve fund, replacing the fleet, and then taking money out instead of putting it in the reserve fund, you put it into the equipment fund. And I think his idea at the time was to have about $500,000 equipment budget every year. And we're looking at 2024 putting $270,000.
Okay, but the inflation wasn't, the interest rates weren't where they are. Inflation isn't where it is. And when we when that was going on, things were going well. There was all kinds of money were coming in. We were getting all types of tax revenue. Yeah. Hold on a second. And like any economist will tell you, governments need to retract their spending and increase their savings during bad economic times. I don't know, you know, what world you're living in, but anybody else I talk to and where I'm at, that's exactly what I'm doing with my home budget. That's exactly what I'm doing with this. And you talk to anybody else out on the street, they're doing the same thing. They're saving more because they have to use more of their savings, and then they're not spending as much. And that's what government should do as well, so we don't overtax them, the public.
That's great. But we've had $340,000 sitting in a bank account for 4 years.
And that's how we purchase these equipment when we order them and, in this year for next year. We have to have the money somewhere, correct?
Or we use the unappropriated fund balance, correct?
Well, what you should do is exactly the way it's set
because
up.
Because we didn't have this reserve account until 2017.
If you place an order and you know that those expenses aren't going to hit, you're not going to take possession of the vehicle until 2025, you should have a specific reserve set up for those costs. So they're set aside from unappropriate fund balance, and it's very clear. We ordered this, we're taking possession and going to pay for it in 2025. That's what this is for.
Or you encumber the money you had set aside the year before, or which we have never done.
Right.
Okay.
Do we have that account number already, or do we have that line item already set up for the 2000 and the truck that we ordered this spring that won't be here till 2025?
Yeah, that money sits there. It doesn't show up on the budget because it's a fund balance.
In your budget, you have when that actually comes in and when everyone decides, you know, when they vote on the budget every year, if they put the 270 in that equipment line, what will end up happening is we don't have to go to reserve for it at that point because the board has committed those monies to be spent when that truck comes in. So if we get it in 24, the money will be in the budget to pay for it, and the reserve then will remain whole. And then, depending on what the situation is and how your fleet is, in 2024, you look at when do I order the next one that will then come in, and that reserve sits there to hold those, to hold that cost. So at some point you will have like a reckoning probably where you're like, okay, we might want to reduce this now to reduce the tax levy. Who knows? There's a million factors that could happen, but
the only reason why I ask is because we're slated to get one out this spring and then in 2025. So I just want to make sure that money is covered.
Well, the board will have to decide as part of the 2025 budget, are they going to use the reserve or are they going to use tax dollars? So, and at that point, that will be five new plows then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when they decide on the 2025 budget, they'll have to decide where that's going to come from. Is it going to come from the tax rate and tax dollars, or is it going to come from the reserve account?
But it'll come out of one of them. It's not going to not happen, Ken.
Oh, I understand that. I just am a little curious as to where it is. If it doesn't show up, then it doesn't show up.
Without permission and increasing that reserve, you can't order another one for 2026. You'd have to get permission from the board and increase the reserve because there's only the 340 in there.
Where is that 340 in?
It's just a reserve fund balance. It's not a budgeted item.
Fund balances. They're never on a, they're never on a page. Because there's nothing going in them other than what we don't have.
Fund balance?
It's in a reserve fund balance account that you see on the year-end financials every year.
And it allows us to order vehicles because it's there. Because it's there, we are.
We can order it because we have the money to pay for it.
Because we have the money to pay for it.
That's the answer.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Whereas we couldn't wait, you know, we're working on the budget right now, but we couldn't go ahead and order unless we had money sitting aside. So we have that money sitting aside. By the time the truck comes in, 18 months, 2 years from now, if we've already built up, then that money will stay there as a reserve so that we can order the following year, so that we can continue to order trucks. That money is there.
So then with this 270,
we've already got the truck.
That's your truck.
That's already ordered.
When it comes in, you got the money to pay for it.
And that's it. Can't replace anything else.
Well, there was more. Again, you did replace something. You replaced a front end loader.
Right.
We had that discussion.
But then we took the remaining money of this year, $108,000, and we're going to put it in the fund balance, and then we're going to appropriate it as part of our 270, which we've never done before. So in essence, we really only budgeted about $162,000 for equipment for next year.
We had this discussion, and when we voted on this, you agreed to that then. Now what you want to do is go back.
No, I don't want to go back. I'm explaining
you did agree
to the board.
No, we understand. We understand.
Right. I'm just saying that last year we budgeted $374,000, almost $375,000 for equipment. This year we budgeted $270,000 with the understanding that $108,000 of that is coming out of this year's budget.
Okay.
We never had that conversation last year of budgeting $374,000. So I'm just amazed that we're okay to slash our budget by $100,000.
We aren't slashing the budget. The budget has actually increased. And we had this discussion.
That's weird because it's
You're talking about a line. You're talking about a line
right,
item.
Yeah.
The overall budget has increased. And we had this discussion when you wanted to buy that front end loader. And we explained that, right?
Absolutely. That's why I remember.
No.
And you agreed to it.
I did not want
to. You agreed to it and said, okay, yeah, that's fine. You said that's fine or something to that effect.
So with our budget this year, we're pretty much, with this tax rate and with that line item, sort of goes back to the salt. Next year, if we decide to buy two trucks, we've got to find $270,000 more in the budget.
I would never vote to buy two trucks for the reason I told you.
Well, you never
if
have,
you buy, so if you, well, the first year I came in January, they hadn't had a truck budgeted in that year. Not only did we buy a truck, I moved the monies around that year. We bought a truck and we bought a roadside mower in the same year. So that's, but that's being.
Saraceni stated that he didn't want to decide what the next board would do until the next.
But they didn't have it appropriated. They didn't have it appropriate.
That's why there was $340,000 in the equipment reserve.
But that's the first thing that I did.
And he had hoped
was
that
move
that
it over.
Would be added to in previous and later. Years.
How do you know what he was hoping for? Did he say
because
that?
Because I sat through the budget work sessions. And
did he say that though?
Half of these people did too. Yes.
Okay.
He did.
Well, but anyway, we've been buying one truck per year every year. And like I said before, to buy two trucks in 1 year, you get to the end, then two trucks are breaking down at the same time, as opposed to buying one each year. Eventually, you're going to get caught up. You can't get caught up in 1 or 2 years. It's going to take you a while to get caught up.
We're never getting caught up, but I've been watching this show for 12 years.
Well, we are getting caught up. We are getting caught up.
Oh.
We got we bought
we in no better situation than we were 10 years ago.
You're wrong.
You're right.
We got four brand new trucks. We got four trucks in the last 4 years. for a new one each year for 4 years. We got a payloader we just bought. We had a roadside mower. All the other small trucks have been purchased in there. You got trailers that we purchased. There's all kinds of equipment that we purchased.
Yeah, there's a lot more equipment that we buy every year than one plow truck. You're correct.
And there's all, if you look at the equipment in that highway, there's a lot of new equipment in there. You can't buy it all at once. You have to go along and take your time to budget out a couple of years along so that they don't all break down at one time, so that you don't have to take the have massive in tax increases. That's the difference between you and I. If you get a nickel in your pocket, you want to spend it. I think that we should be much more frugal with the way we spend money.
Your nickel goes 3 cents less now.
Okay.
By holding on to it for 4 years. You're going to hold on to another four and get a penny worth?
We're not. We're spending it. We allocated $450,000, and I'm recommending we add another $50,000 to the fund balance. So it's $500,000 because we have that in reserve to go to help with the tax levy. And that's just in the general fund. With the highway, we're allocating $450,000 from the highway fund balance. So we're spending it. We're spending the money. We're just not spending it like drunken sailors. We're being much more frugal because we don't know what's going to be at the end.
I'm not spending like a drunken sailor. And I don't ever propose spending like a drunken sailor.
But you want to spend more.
We need to be cognizant of the equipment we need in a replacement schedule.
And we have a replacement schedule of one a year.
Yeah, we came up with a five-year plan that you looked at and approved,
uh-huh.
And we threw it out the window. That's all.
No, we had one. We had a truck in there one a year. One year.
The original five-year plan last year was the year to buy two trucks.
1 year. And
the board nixed it.
It was a different, and things have changed. The cost of equipment has changed. The cost of buying a lot of things has changed. So you have to change. That's just a plan. That's a roadmap. Doesn't mean that you don't change your plans. If things change, if the economy changes, you have to change with the times. You don't just go, we're going to buy seven new trucks 1 year, and then the bottom falls out on the revenue and the cost of doing business. I'm using that as an example.
But
if you have it like that, you have to modify it. When everything else goes up, you have to modify your spending. And when we cannot overtax people, we have to maintain the tax rate during these hard economic times. Everybody is doing less with what they're in their household. And so that's what we have to do. We have to find a way to work around it and make it work. That's our job, to make it work with the money we have available. The budget for the highway is going up. It's not like we're lowering it. It's going up. How much is it going up? I don't have that.
Yeah.
What's that?
300.
No, it's not 300.
No.
Total appropriations are up 94,000.
Yeah, 94,000. So it's going up 94,000.
Let me just jump in. I think what I'm hearing or what I'm sensing is in the ideal world, we're one truck away from being comfortable, one more truck from being away from being comfortable with sticking to a plan. Two things have changed, and the reason why we can't do that is because whatever it is, the delay between when you order a truck and getting it has gotten absolutely insane, right? You could buy a truck, you could order a truck in years ago, and you'd get it 6 months later.
Right.
So that's a big change. And the other one was this phenomenal, horrendous inflationary period that we went through. So I have to agree with Bob in the sense that, and there's a little bit of fingers crossing here. Can we get through with buying one more truck? And we have been buying a truck every year. I got on this board in 2014, and we were not buying trucks every year. And at least in the last several years, we have been doing that. But, what you guys are saying is, well, if we could buy one more truck, we would feel much more comfortable. I don't think we can afford it. And you just get through this year and let's just see what happens. And, you know, when there's an emergency, that's what fund balance is for. But, you know, right now, I'm going to say do the best you can. And Kevin, we are getting there. I mean, we weren't buying a truck a year. We are doing it now. And eventually that 2014 truck will be gone, and the others of its kind. There were some bad decisions made in types of trucks that were purchased by this town, and those decisions haven't been made in a long time. You know, you're buying the right equipment. I mean, some of the arguments that we were having, I don't want to get into the details, but like so stupid. Like, well, why are you buying that truck? Well, we've always bought it. International as well. That's not a good answer.
So anything under $10,000 a year on a particular truck is a win?
No. I just use that. I use your example. You said that it cost us for 11 years, it cost us for 12 years. It costs us $119,000, and that is a little bit more than $10,000 a year. So, yes, if you can operate a vehicle efficiently and doing the proper maintenance on it, just because it's 10 years old doesn't mean that it's not a viable piece of equipment. There's a lot of pieces of equipment around. You go on a farm, they got tractors that are 30 years old, and that's because they maintain them properly. I think maybe we ought to, and I've never really seen a preventative maintenance schedule from you or from any highway superintendent. There's been two here since I've been here, and I've never seen that. I mean, what are you doing to keep those things up, and how much is it costing you? Because you might have a 2010, and yeah, maybe we want to keep it another 3 years if you can keep it running properly.
Jim, what's our maintenance budget line item? How much is in there allocated for 2024?
$76,000. The actual spending for 2020 was like $56,000. In 2021, it was $69,000. In 2022, it was around $75,000. And in the tentative budget for 2024, it's $76,000.
Where are we year to date, 2023? You skipped that one.
Repairs. They have $47,000 left, but
how much have you spent so far?
22. But it's not a fair assessment because he does a lot of maintenance stuff right before winter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A lot of expenses hit right before then.
But part of also when, and it wasn't you that made this argument, it was the previous highway superintendent, part of buying newer trucks was supposed to be decreasing that repair line, and it's been going up each year. 55, 69, 74, now we're at 70 from last year, and we increased it to 76 this year. But that's not coming to fruition either.
That's an availability thing, and unfortunately, we are getting.
No, and I understand. I mean, and that goes to your five-year plan. It's supposed to be going down, but with the cost of everything, the cost of repairs are going up as well. So that's not going to go down.
The original idea was that we'd have equipment that's less than 7 years old. What do you get for a truck when you turn it in that's 5 years old, Ken?
I was in there when that was done. You weren't in there when that was done. So that was part of the discussion. But that doesn't mean that just because it's 7 years old, you trade it in. Wonder if you have a vehicle that's running really well, that's operating well.
It's all corroded on the bottom because these things do 80% of the
work. I'm not saying that's running really well, that doesn't need a lot of maintenance. Why would we turn it in if we couldn't get a couple more years out of it? Because it's costing us $45,000 a year to buy a new one. Why wouldn't we want to keep it a couple of more years to get some longevity out of it? And then maybe if we had a 2000, say that was a 2010, and if he had a 2014, we get rid of that 2014 and not hang on to it and then replace that with a new one. But we keep other ones that may be in good shape, keep them well maintained, and you can keep them longer.
Well, you can try it.
Maybe we want to, now here's another thing. They have a process, I know they have a process that Cat Diesel is using, that or Caterpillar. And they're around all this, type of corrosive type of environments. And they're spraying it with a stuff called, I think this is a brand name, but it's called Nyalic. And they spray it with it, and what it does is it cuts way down on the corrosion. Maybe that's something we want to look at as well.
That's a possibility. I mean, a lot
they're doing it. Caterpillar's doing it.
A lot of your issues that arise with these vehicles is in wiring and electronics, on top of the salt environment that eventually corrodes the bottom of the undercarriage. But what one thing we've never done is ever gotten close enough to maybe turn a truck in and get $100,000 back for it instead of...
You're not going to get $100,000 back for it, because I was right in there when, and I asked one of the salesmen, what are these worth after a few years? $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. They're not worth $100,000. No way.
That was the other part of the plan. The other part of the plan was, oh, we're going to be able to trade these in. We're going to get, we're going to get a lot of money for these trucks, and that also never came to fruition.
So we're turning in 10- to 15-year-old trucks.
But even the prices we were getting for those trucks was still inflated. To the point where the board was being led to believe that, oh, we're going to get $65,000 for this truck. I'm like, really?
Well, nobody's going to pay that for that international, because it's probably got that system.
That's what I'm saying, though, Kevin.
Right.
We were led to believe that when in writing the equipment replacement plan, we were led to believe that these vehicles were, in fact, worth that amount of money, and that's what was going to make the whole thing work. And, of course, it was not true. So...
I just want to add, to answer your question, Bob, I have not heard back from, but I reached out to Jay Barnwell at Tracy, and looking into if we can get just a cab and chassis, if that comes to us quicker, seeing as how it doesn't have to go through the process of going through Tracy. They do what they do, then they send it up to Viking or Henderson, whoever does the whole plow thing. Trying to put together an idea of what it would cost to... So the big issue with what's left on these older internationals is they have steel boxes, and they're at the end of their... I didn't know we were going to have a camera thing, but...
Are you buying them with, what are they, aluminum now or stainless steel or what?
Right, so they're stainless. So what I'm looking into is, okay, if I can get a cab and chassis and I send that up to Henderson, for example, and I take the 2014 that has the stainless box, we take the box, we take the whole plow, and then we get rid of the truck. It may cost us $40,000-$50,000 to have that done, but it's all stainless material, and we pay for labor, and then we make out. So that is an alternative that I'm looking into, because not only are we seeing the delay because of parts and whatever excuse they want to give, but we're also getting electronic recalls already, which is absurd. So,
oh, that's strange.
So the only I can understand the dollar amount and how that it works to our benefit. It's the downtime that is the difficult part. It's the downtime.
Okay, again.
The wintertime.
Again, if we, you have to do it. If you take a look right at the end of the plowing season, do a comprehensive evaluation of all the trucks you have and go through and take a look at, okay, who needs what and what do they need, and start doing it in April and then or May. And then you got, even if it took 3 months, you'd still get it in plenty of time for plowing season.
Well,
you could do two.
The work is being done. The brand new 10-wheeler last year, the wing hit part of the shoulder. The wing went up over the window, busted the mirror, busted the window, busted the door. When they break, it's 30 below zero wind chill. It's been running out in the cold.
Yeah, but that wasn't a maintenance problem, though. I mean, that had nothing to do with maintenance.
The point is, that truck was down for 2 months because of that incident.
Right, but that has nothing to do with maintenance. That has to do with plowing the roads and I don't know what else.
Right. So that truck went down.
Mm-hmm.
This truck, which is supposed to be my backup, I can't use because every time I pull it out of the garage, it's $10,000 bill. I guess that's just what I'm trying to get at is, yeah, it's roulette whether or not you're going to get the trucks to make it, you know, how much you want to try and get out of them.
Well, I don't know that it's roulette. I mean, maybe from your perspective, but I mean, the wing didn't break itself. I mean, that's not roulette.
I'm saying
that didn't go offline by itself.
To have a fleet of 9 trucks.
You don't have a backup is what you're saying.
Right, because my backup is the 2007 International.
Or a 2010 or a 2014 might cost you money.
That I can't count on completing a run.
But why can't you count on completing a run? Why aren't you doing the preventative maintenance on them to ensure that they can?
These two are, Bob. These two trucks, this is the 2014.
We know about the 14.
We
know about the 14.
Here's the scheduled maintenance.
Yes, we know about the 14.
For every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we can give up on that. I don't think it's going to get anywhere. One of the sheets I gave you says 2024 equipment budget. It originally had what we were guesstimating to remove the box and plow and chassis and sell the 14. And then buy a new chassis and cab for the place. Obviously, the board doesn't want to go there. But there were the F-250. You have two F-250s you want to swap based on age because we get money back. It's a very minimal cost. Like Jerry's truck. You turn it in, it might be $1,000 or $2,000, and you get a brand new vehicle.
I know.
Because of state bid.
But we haven't been able to get that. We haven't been able to get the trucks, though.
Right, that started again this year. I just finished the photographs of the 250s. I talked to Matt DeSalvo, and we're also, because we don't, so as far as the pickups go, that's a lighter maintenance. It doesn't really matter other than buying a Dodge.
Yeah, you might not get a Ford.
Right. Something we might also look into is we might not get a Ford. We're gonna call Matt and say, okay, what is available in the weight range that we need. So.
And those are pieces of equipment we've been moving right along with. We've been upgrading them every year. Those are all in good condition.
So what I threw down $5,000 for each truck. I don't think it's ever been that much to swap them, but I threw it down as a you know, high end number. One of Ken's wishes was to replace the 2015 Chevy, is that a 3/4 ton or 1 ton?
It's a 1 ton.
It's a 1 ton with I put F-350, but whatever vehicle. You know, and put a salt spreader and a larger plow for it to be able to plow here, right? To plow in the town hall and the other smaller parking lots instead of having to use a 6-wheeler or a 10-wheeler.
Do you have an estimate on that and how soon they could get it?
That is a question that, so this just came about in our meeting the other day. What I might do is I was going to talk to Matt about, so right now there are two 250s. Well, let's see if we can do one 250 and one a 350 with the plow and the thing. So no, I don't have any numbers yet. But obviously as soon as I do, I will I'll let you know.
We estimated 55 grand for the truck. Well, what I came up with was both 250s and the 350.
Oh.
If you look at that, mm-hmm. and this part. And I put down 15 grand for the sale of the Chevy. I think Alicia had sent me an email saying you guys have usually been getting more, mm-hmm. but I wanted to err on the side of caution. I think she said the last time you sold one of those trucks, it was almost right. 25 or 30. But I just wanted to be safe for numbers. So 80 out, 15 in would be roughly $65,000. Looking at the equipment reserve balance of 340, we got to keep 270 there to be able to buy a truck, just in case. I understand that. That gives us about $70,000. Would the board entertain, if Ken's able to do this? I mean, obviously, if the big truck comes in at more, we wouldn't be able to. But, I mean, would the board entertain taking care of those pieces of equipment?
What year are they and how many miles are they have on them?
This would just be the 2015 Chevy, which is truck.
Well, and whichever 250s you got.
Right. The 250s, let's see, I was in the. Mine has 13,000 and the other one has 18,000. They're both 2022s.
When did you get them? The beginning of 22? Or the end of 21?
The end of 22.
So they're new trucks.
Right. Which is why we're going to try and swap them in.
Well, how are we coming up with the 60,000 then? When we were swapping them in before, we were actually swapping them in at zero.
Right.
Right. I put numbers down that might come in that way. I just wanted to, if there is a cost, registrations, plates, whatever, moving them, if it's in Ohio, that I just wanted to budget to be prepared. So that's all. I mean, I know it was pretty much even, but I wanted to be safe. That's all.
So what's the cost? I don't.
The cost would be really the swap of the 250s could be zero, but I put them down for $5,000 a piece, just in case they're not.
$10,000.
Yep. And then 70 for the 350 with the plow and the salt spreader, and then figuring we're going to get 15 when we sell the Chevy.
What
so
year
ultimately, you're at
it's
about
2015. Bob.
How many miles does it have on it?
That I don't know. Let's see if it's on here.
What do you use it for? Just to plow?
Well, this year actually, we use a lot. It's a dump truck. It's like a mini dump truck. Gets behind yards better, stuff like that. But it is the only one that has a plow.
It's got a 7-foot
normal
plow.
Yeah, normal snow plow.
Straight blade.
You come here, yeah. Yeah, obviously around the shop.
So, what do you need to do this? We've budgeted 270, so this is another 230,000.
No. I'm sorry. No, that had the other, the truck Ken was talking about swapping body and chassis. Ultimately, the small trucks, the 250 and the 350, shouldn't cost us more than 65.
More. And we're getting the 65 from where?
You got 5 and 5.
You'd have to increase
the
budget. I wouldn't be in favor of that.
Well, the equipment reserve has 340,000 in it. We need 270 to pay for a truck, just in case it comes in. That's what we had all decided. So that truck process can keep moving. I mean, every year we keep that money there, it buys us less. You can't argue that.
Well, you get interest
four
on
years
it as
ago,
well.
We could get,
so what's this holdover from the
in 4 years, I think we've
budget.
Got 10 or 12.
Does that 108 sit is sitting somewhere?
No. This was my sheet of trying to figure out. Yeah, don't worry about those numbers. All you're looking at is the 5570 and the 15 back for the purchase. Because the board doesn't want to go anywhere near the rest of that stuff.
But can you take the, you need
no.
70, can you take it out of the equipment reserve fund, or you need, or you can't?
Well, we made the budget modification to take the 108 grand and put it back in the fund balance for this year. Yeah. So that sheet doesn't mean anything anymore. All I was trying to work out is the small trucks.
I know, but can we can the money for the small trucks be found anywhere without increasing the bottom line budget? Can it come out of something?
The only place it could come from without increasing the bottom line would be the equipment reserve. And then the equipment reserve would become less.
And how much is in the equipment reserve?
340.
340.
340. And you need to keep 370 in. 270 in. So that's what?
It'd be 70. And that what I budgeted there would be about 65. Worst case scenario. And Ken's not going to move forward with it if it's anything more than that, I would believe.
Yeah.
Or the time, if the time frame doesn't.
So why not do that?
I'm for it.
I don't want to change these numbers on our budget. The $5,000, $10,000. If we think we can do that for $2,000, why would we say $10,000?
Because we haven't done it in a year, and I just wanted to be safe. Al's numbers were 2, I put 5, because I just don't want to. I don't want to talk to the board and tell you it's going to be 2, and then it's 4. And then we go through that discussion of why was it 4.
Well, and if that was the case, though, you would take you just would not spend the money that we've appropriated. You just would. And if we're talking about taking $70,000 more out of the equipment reserve fund, and you don't need it, well, then it stays there.
Well, they're going to need some.
Yeah, but if you don't need it, and let's say it all comes out where it's $15,000 less expensive than this. This is a worst case scenario. Then you're only going to have to spend 55 out of it, but we can appropriate 70.
So you could decide also at the time of use when he does have actual numbers throughout the year, could do a budget
because
modification
it's a reserve account?
And take it out of reserve at that time as well. So instead of doing it right now, because it wouldn't affect the tax rate at all.
Right.
Okay.
And that way we have actual numbers.
Yeah. I have a question. Which would be nice. The 108.
That's already gone.
That's already in.
That's gone.
Right. That's your 270.
Right. That's gone.
So then
you don't have anything.
It's a nil right now.
What?
The budget, the
equipment line?
Budget is at nil right now because of what?
Yeah, I think there's like 10,000 in there or something. There's not much.
Oh, well, that's a spreader. That's why I'm asking if that money is going to stay in my.
No, that's gone.
Okay, well, that's.
Or 100 grand of it. 100 grand of it is gone.
Okay, so 100 grand of it is gone. Mm-hmm.
So you have, you've spent so far this year, you spent like 95,000. You had, prior to that budget modification, 280 left. Mm-hmm. We took 100,000 out. That means you have 180 left. You're spending 140 something on.
171.
Oh, 171. So you have $9,000.
Okay. Which is good. That might be the spreader.
Could you just let him know that number so Ken knows?
Can you send me, like, is that payloader number set? That's what it's going to be. It's not going to change.
Yeah, that's not going to change. I can get you that from Jay.
Okay.
I
don't think I
bothered with it. Okay, so we're going to revisit this when you get
actual
numbers for the please.
Over here. Mm-hmm. Step in the right direction. Maybe you'll have a winter like you had last year where you're not on the road that much.
And it is just amazing that you can offer someone $270,000 and they tell you gotta wait 2 years.
That is amazing. You're right, Ken.
It's insane. We would have never believed it if anybody said. Everything else okay with your budget?
I believe so, yeah. I appreciate the increases in the maintenance and the construction lines.
I'm just curious, at the end, when it's all said and done, what was appropriated in 23 for those two codes, are you going to spend it all? Are you going to have Pachinko be saved? You had a 656 and 466 budgeted, right?
Yeah, there's trying to save $100,000 for like a contingency. Mm-hmm. 30 of that, however, is going to go to crack sealing, Suco's going to come in, weather permitting. So yeah, there'll be some money left over.
Well, you may want to, you know, brag about that when you come in to talk about how to do this other stuff. So there may be some of that extra money there that we weren't counting on putting it into fund balance, because we don't know it yet.
We'll see what El Nino brings.
Hearing all these reports, this is going to be the worst winter yet. Now they're saying it's not.
Fritz, yeah.
So that that sheet I gave you is, if you look at it right at the top with the general fund, and you look at the one that's in your book, the general fund appropriated fund balance. Appropriated fund balance is on our tentative budget. And if you look at the sheet, it goes from 450 to 500. And if you look at the numbers, it goes from having a tax increase to having a tax decrease of 0.5%. So I'm suggesting that we use that additional monies and put it in that appropriated fund balance. So increasing the appropriated fund balance from 450 to 500 seems, because we got the additional money from the
mortgage tax.
Yeah, from the mortgage tax. Thank you.
Now, I wanted, what were you saying? You were budgeting 500 for next year for mortgage tax because of Micron?
Because
isn't that far-fetched? Because Micron's not even
Lysander
really coming here for another 20 years.
Yeah, but just look at the numbers, Jeff.
Yeah, but that's when the interest rates were low. Now they're 8%. If you look in the historical in the Sunday paper as far as what houses are selling in Lysander, you'll see 2 to 3 houses each week, if that. Some weeks there's none. So the interest rates are high, and I wouldn't anticipate on anything of Micron right now until actually you got a shovel in the ground, because no one's coming here for Micron right now.
But people are buying things.
Yeah, they're
no
still
one's buying anything because of Micron.
No, but they're still purchasing houses, because in fact there was
inventory's
one
down though.
No, I know,
because the rates are up.
It's down, but if you look at Timber Banks, they're banging out a bunch of stuff over there, and they just sold a house, and they're still selling it above asking price. A friend of mine listed their house with one number, and they ended up getting $50,000 more because of the inventory. Yeah, so they're still selling, but we lowered it. I mean, we lowered it down. They didn't say it's going to be a crash. And if you talk to the realtors, they're still saying that they're not staying on the lot. So they're still going to be selling them in Onondaga County, but not at the rate they were before. That's why we lowered it 50,000.
Yeah, because the houses right now is what they're listing for. They're starting to drop the prices now because they're getting stale. I've been doing some comparisons.
Well, because they jacked them up so high. I mean, they're.
Of course.
You know that.
Jeez. Are you saying that we budgeted 550 and we're bringing in 600? Is that
600? Yes. Okay.
Correct for 2020. Yeah.
But we've never. This is sort of misleading, because could you tell us what we budgeted in those three previous years? Because
well,
I think it was
what we
more
budgeted
like
is irrelevant, though,
yeah,
because that was a plan that didn't work out. What you always want to do with your budget is you want your revenue to be responsible to the taxpayer, to be as close as you think you're actually going to bring in. So you don't technically want to budget 300 if you're going to bring in 5. Because then
you don't bring
your tax
five,
rate was too high.
Then you got to come up with that $100,000 if
correct
you don't bring in 4.
Absolutely.
Because that's revenue. And that's, we got to go around
yep
with Kevin with the parks. I want to know if he hasn't spent all of his money because he was expecting revenue this year that he didn't get because he didn't run the day camp.
Yes, so and he will see that savings.
But he didn't have the expenditures.
Yeah, he
either
didn't have the expenditures for the day camp or the employee hires.
We haven't really seen it. We don't know all of his numbers. I hope you're right.
I always bring it in with me. I didn't bring it in tonight, but we've always budgeted a very low number for mortgage tax.
Right, and that money has gone into the fund balance,
right,
and that's why our general fund balance is over $1 million.
When you look at the actuals, and even with respect to what Jeff is saying, thinking that housing sales are going to go down, I mean, the fact that we brought in 600 this year and we only budgeted 550 makes me comfortable that 500 next year would be fine. I think that's a, it's a, it's a reasonable number.
With the historical high rates, though, you think 5's going to be fine?
You know, I'm not a relative, Jeff. So you know, I'll defer.
Oh no, I was just curious. It would be nice if we got 5. It would be nice if we got 6 or 7.
It'd be 100 less than we got this year.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right, so it is a drop.
Yeah. I mean, we've never budgeted it that tight because it's a crapshoot of a number.
It's a guessing game.
Right. That's what budgeting is, though. You look at historical data.
Yeah, but
how much
on the revenue side.
You look at historical data and what we've been getting, and if we only do 350 and you take in 900, then you're not budgeting appropriately because you're not budgeting to what your revenues actually are. And what we're trying to do is budget to what we believe our revenues will actually be.
And what's reasonable about it is that it's only $50,000. I don't mean to say that's not a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but we always come in having spent less money than we budgeted. So, you know, finding that $50,000, if it doesn't happen, I'm not too worried about it.
Do we ever come in under what we budgeted so far in mortgage tax in the past 3 years?
No.
No, it was always over.
Well,
it's not what?
Because we got $900,000.
That was an anomaly, though.
An unprecedented.
That's an anomaly. It's not going to be like that again.
No, because everybody knew interest rates were going up, so they remortgaged, refinanced.
Again, this is a plan, right? So if that first payment were to come in 2024 and it was phenomenally lower, we're like, now we know we're never going to hit what we thought we were going to. We can reevaluate at that time, and maybe we do some cuts somewhere, and on expenses to reduce that to make it work. So we can always evaluate and modify and change going forward if the plan doesn't happen. We're not stuck.
Right. Well, I mean, from my numbers, I figure we got almost $1.6 million in the general fund balance, so we're not stuck.
Well, we're using 500.
Right. And we don't know what's, we still don't know the end of this year, budget-wise. I haven't looked at the,
correct,
where we're at expenditures to revenues. And I know I asked over the summer about revenues, and you said it's hard to understand. And that's one question I wanted to bring up. How do we not know the money we're bringing in?
I said there's a huge delay in it. So when we look at Parks, for instance, mm-hmm, he's taking in money. He has his own bank account. It's going in the bank account. Then he gets the bank account statement the next month. Then he recs the bank account statement. Then he writes a check, and it comes to me. So everything from when that dollar went in, we're 2 months behind of getting it into the accounting software.
So you don't see his account?
Correct. I see his rec, his bank rec. And I see it, and then I review it and make sure everything's working. But I don't, that's not a bank account that I have access to throughout the year. He does a bank rec, he supplies me with all the information, and they hand in a report and he writes a check out of it. So there's a delay from the time the money comes in to when it hits account.
Is there a delay as well, too, with a town clerk?
Yes.
So about a 2 month delay?
Hers is like a month and a half because she gets it done right in the beginning when Kevin's super busy in the middle of the summer, maybe a week or two.
That's why those AUDs, we're working on, well, Jennifer's working on them till March because all the recs don't come in. We don't get all the expenditures. And then to your point, well, what's the fund balance? You don't know until probably March what the fund balance is going to be. Does everybody spend their money? Do they not spend their money? You don't know.
I mean, is there a software where you could see all of that?
Yes.
We're looking at that.
Expenses would be encumbered, so it would be a PO process.
We're looking at that now, and that's something that,
we're a year and a half into this. I asked about it a year ago.
Asked about what?
Accounting software that would be universal, so every department instead
and
of
we've
just
been,
paperwork.
And she's been looking. We've had numerous discussions on it. She's trying to find the appropriate software for us because do you have any idea how much that software is going to cost?
Oh, I'm sure it's a lot.
How much, you think?
50 grand.
Well,
100?
I'd probably be 100. It's going to be an annual fee.
An annual fee.
Right.
And the annual fee is going to
be cloud-based.
And the annual fee is going to go up. So what she has been working on, and we just had a discussion about it this week, is which one are we going with? And then because we want something that's upgradable, we don't want something that we're going to have to replace in another 5 years. We want something that's upgradable at least till 10 years. And then, but then it has to be cost effective too. I mean, we could go out and get it now, but it's the numbers are big. The numbers are staggering. We're probably going to, when we get through, we were talking, we're probably going to suggest that we use ARPA funding to do that because of the cost. We have the ARPA funding, so that would be, and that would go for long-term benefit to the town, something that we have to have.
We're still in the hunt for a time clock or a
yes.
service.
Ben, they're close.
Okay.
They're close to coming
closer
up with that.
Closer on that one.
Same thing. You know, software. the numbers, well, go ahead, I'll let you explain.
Well, you have to have a very, when you're working with consultants and switching accounting software, I was there through the county's transition to PeopleSoft. It is paramount that you have a very good understanding of your expenses first. So if we were to have tried to change last year, it would have been scary. Now that I've been through a whole cycle,
we're in a much better
position now when we're meeting with these different software companies to know exactly what we need, what would be extra, but we don't really need it. So that's why it takes time. Because when we transition, we got to do it right. Because the county, the consultants were there forever.
That's why we're taking our time with it.
More money than they even thought it was going to.
Right. Well, I was just wondering, ARPA funding. I was wondering how we were, if we were going to think about doing it, why we're not budgeting for it. But
we don't know what the budget yet, and we're still looking at it. She's been looking at it for months now, just like the time clock. They've been working. Kevin and Nancy have been working on that for months. Another thing we've been working on is the safety portion. We've been working on that for months, upgrading all our safety equipment, AEDs, the eyewash stations, the safety cabinets, and what we want to put in there. We've had numerous meetings with people to see, and we're close on a couple of them. I think we got an idea on the time clocks, and we're getting closer on the software.
Which is actually, hopefully, if everything works out, will not cost a ton of money, but we will get maximum benefits. So taking our time and finding it.
Yeah, the time
should
clock.
Be, fingers crossed, yeah. Very well worth it.
Is one of the companies I worked for the software?
Oh my gosh, we went through meetings with seven companies.
I keep hearing from him. And I did look it over, but, I didn't know if they were on the list. I'll just stop.
We did
for
a lot.
What, time clocks?
What's that?
For time clocks every time?
No, it was an accounting for
Yeah, Nancy and Kevin are working on that project. So they got the information as well as the safety stuff, and they're close on both. So getting back to the $50,000, I would like to propose we put that $50,000 in to get that tax rate down and get it under so there's no increase this year.
Good.
It's
fine.
Okay.
Did you have any building issues? Because I know eventually we're going to talk about buildings and maintenance. And
yep.
Have you spoken to Kevin about them?
Is Kevin our buildings guy or not?
Here's the thing. Kevin and I are doing the buildings. He's doing most of it, but he's really not he's the parks director, he's helping me with the building. So we collaborate. He does a lot of the work on them, and then we collaborate them, just like they're doing the roof over at the highway. He and I went and looked, and we got some people, got the bids on them, and they're going to be taking care of that now. So I think if you do have stuff, the sooner you talk to Kevin about it, the better. But we've been over there, and we've been looking at it, and he's got a plan. But the answer to that is,
I was just in general.
He's doing a nice job on the trooper barracks and all the other ones. I mean, he's he's a hustler, I got to say. Kevin's doing a great job, and he's picking up the slack, you know, that's needed. We don't have an additional maintenance person here, so he jumped right in. And
my only thing is still it's just needing a generator.
Well, we've been talking about that. Yeah. So that's another thing we.
Is that the only issue you got there? Is the generator in this?
No, the heaters, the suspended heaters in the barn haven't been serviced in a long time. But they're taking care of the roof. They cleaned out the thing in the middle, so it's pretty much, the doors are new. The one that broke was replaced. It's just having power when lines are down.
So why aren't you servicing the heaters? Why aren't they getting made?
It's buildings. It's not in.
We're starting to do that, going through and coming up with the preventative maintenance stuff. Kevin and I've been talking, and Kevin's been going out to get estimates on those things, like the heaters for here, the heaters for the plumbing, for plumbing, heating, air conditioning. He's going out, and one of the things that haven't been done in the past is preventative maintenance, and that's what he and I are working on now, and he's been researching those and getting estimates from people to do that.
It's not highways, but, you know, on that subject, we used to get a list of what the projects were under the buildings. So you're proposing spending $115,000, and we budgeted $127,000. There used to be a list of projects.
Like I said, that was Al coming in and doing that. You know, now Kevin's doing that part-time, so, but I'm sure he has a list of those things, and when he comes in, I'll talk to him tomorrow about it.
Good to see. I mean, I just want to make sure you have enough in there, because we're always, you got to do this, you got to do that. Just want to make sure, because you're cutting it by $12,000. That's just, you know, I appreciate that, but I hope you have enough money in there.
So, okay, well, as long as we're done with that, have you had a chance to look at clerk and the assessor's budgets? They're pretty benign. I mean, there's very little difference from before. If we don't need to bring them in, then I won't schedule them. If you think you want them to come in, then I'll schedule them.
I personally looked at the assessors, and I was fine with that. Code's pretty much the same year after year, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, the only question I had that I think Jennifer explained to me, the town of Van Buren has, you know, gave us this sheet in terms of why that went up, and I just, they had the, and this was based on appraised values of our property. I guess what I'm getting at is that in years past, the town of Van Buren extended a salary increase to the assessor without asking us first if that was okay, and I didn't know if that was still going on. So, but they were very generous. Oh, is that what we're paying?
When's your contract up?
I'd have to look at it off the top of my head. I don't know. Without looking at it.
I didn't know if it was up this year or next year.
I got to look at it. I'd have to ask Dina, and Dina hasn't been around. But I'll ask her tomorrow on it. She should be in tomorrow.
But do you know the answer to that question? If, you know,
I believe that they're suggesting in this a 2.5% raise.
And that's reasonable. So.
And then any, like, trainings and stuff, if those costs have increased a little bit, they put that in there.
No, it's just that, you know, the protocol was there didn't seem to be an appropriate protocol, like a phone call first.
They have a new comptroller, and we've had several discussions, so we're staying in communication. She's very,
right, but
very,
I guess what I would like to see in the future is a formal, this is a shared employee, and prior to Van Buren literally extending a salary increase, that they formally propose it to the town of Lysander, this is what we are
in a,
suggesting.
Yeah, in a letter or something. Yeah okay.
Right. Instead of it just, it would just show up like Bob says.
We can,
show up.
Because then what do you do? You know?
Yeah, we can do that. I'll talk to the town supervisor, Rick Zachariah over there, and let him know.
That would be good.
So what about those three groups?
I'm good.
The only other question that I had...
Kevin?
Looking at the assessors. It was 7%, but that I think it's based on... Isn't there some kind of parcel? Do they use a formula for figuring out their salary by parcels?
It's the second page
that
sheet that I emailed you. So we pay a percentage. We have more parcels than Van Buren.
Right. Yeah, they do it. They break it down by percentage that way. Yeah. Some assessors get paid by how many parcels in the town. Mm-hmm. So, because I mean, just doing the math real quick, that's like a 7% increase, but that gets divided by the.
And
parcels.
It's not all salary as well. It's also there's some training costs in there. Van Buren pays the whole training cost, so then we pay our share back to them. So.
Okay. Because you had, in our budget line, assessor shared with Van Buren, you had 83,710 for 2024. So do we have to change that to this?
Let me look at it.
It is that.
That's the budget you came up with, had this number in it? You're all set? 83, okay, right there, 83,710.
I was like, wait a minute.
No,
what do you
fine.
Mean?
I was looking at the front page. Yeah, I mean, town clerk. Dina's good with those numbers for
she
who
gave
she has to cover it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I'm fine.
Okay, so I won't schedule them. So we can probably wrap it up tomorrow night. We'll do Kevin in here with the buildings. And
If the only thing that I had questions on, maybe we can do it tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Pushing after 7 here was, Jen gave me a really good explanation for what engineer fees were all about and why they were so reduced.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about that.
Yeah.
And then the, because it was an explanation that I didn't know how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that they're not going to be able to do anything about it, but we ought to be cognizant that the Trooper Barracks building is costing us a lot more money.
Well, we're going to, that's something we're going to negotiate in the next contract because the costs have gone way up.
Exactly.
And we did a lot of work. I mean, we're doing a lot of work. They had, the building was in tough shape, but we're responsible for all the maintenance and everything. And we're doing the curbing. We did some repairs to their stairs. I mean, those are all things that needed to be done just because they were a trip hazard and a safety hazard. So, but when we, I think, is that up this year? Or next year?
It's up at the end of next year.
At the end of next year. So next year we can talk about, I don't know anybody know who they negotiated with last time?
It was 20 years
ago. Is it the major?
Oh,
20 years ago?
It was a 20-year lease with no increase in rent for the whole 20 years.
You can't sign anything, a municipality can't sign anything more than 7 years.
No, the building.
Oh.
We own the building.
Yeah, but you can't sign anything
more?
I know.
Contract re-up.
It's
why.
Been like $984.86 a month.
Forever.
We'll. I'll talk to the local lieutenant and then find out who I should talk to regarding the. It's probably going to be somebody out of Albany.
And it's not a budget buster, but I'm just so curious about control of other animals that we're paying the.
SPCA.
SPCA, because it went. I don't know what other animals they're controlling, but we're budgeting $6,000 for them to control other animals.
I'll find out from Dina.
Yeah, I'll find out from Dina. What I will tell you from unfortunate experience is that a lot of the fur trade business has dried up completely.
Yeah.
So skunks and things like that are now running rampant.
The SPCA can't touch them.
I didn't know if other animals included.
Dogs.
No, but this is other animal. What's other animals?
I'd like to know what we're doing. I really thought all we hired.
They can't touch skunks.
Was dogs and cats.
Yeah. The dogs is the line above that at the 22,000.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't bring in much revenue at all. They don't ticket people.
All right, so you'll get an answer on that.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be doing that with any other animals. We pay them to do dogs. And maybe this is just a...
I don't know what that other animals is. Could be, I don't know. Is it...
We'll find out.
Yep.
I don't know.
Great.
Yep.
Now, I had sent an email to the board asking for a financial presentation.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear back, so... I mean, I'm not just talking the budget presentation. I was talking like an overall financial.
Yeah, you want a state of the town.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Very good.
There you go.
Hey. Everybody good?
All right, so
tomorrow, 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay,
Wednesday.
Call a meeting adjourned at 7:10.
We're good for Wednesday, then. We don't need...